I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 3rd of March. Just before Valentine's Day, UC Berkeley researchers revealed some secrets to a successful marriage. The researchers studied the same 156 middle-aged and older couples over 25 years, and they looked at everything from the way they resolved conflicts to the makeup of their DNA. So what couples had a better chance of at death to do us part instead of goodbye? What couples were good at working out their problems, and how did they work them out? We're going to be talking about all of this. The study started back in 1989, when marriage wasn't doing very well, and so our guest thought maybe a study of this would help marriages. Professor Robert Levinson is our guest this hour, professor at UC Berkeley, works in the Berkeley Psychophysiology Laboratory, and much of his work focuses on the nature of human emotion, on variations in emotion associated with age, gender, culture, and pathology. And he's been conducting this ongoing long-time longitudinal study of long-term first marriages. We'll be welcoming phone calls for Professor Levinson, and here is how you can reach the conversation. You know, it's a somewhat personal topic, but let me put it this way. If you have advice to give, if you've been in a marriage for a long period of time, and that would be, let's say, if you made it past 15 years, maybe you can tell us what it is that you do that keeps marriage going well for such a long period of time. It would be nice to hear from you this hour. Or on the other hand, if there are problems, you know, you can talk about those. You can give us advice either way. Our phone number for on-air participation this hour is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And just a reminder that this is the last hour for our participation in our Winter Pledge membership drive. Today's the last day of this baby. So please make your pledge right now if you'd like to pledge to our program, and we'd love it if you did that. That's 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552. Professor Robert Levinson, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. So you decided to do this. Were you concerned about the high divorce rate back in 1989 and thought a study might be in order?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what was going on. Up until then, people who studied the divorce rate in this country were reporting kind of a steady 50% lifetime failure rate. And around this time in the mid-80s, and several reports came out that suggested the divorce rate had crept up into the 60%. So, you know, for the first time, it was more likely that marriages would end in failure than not. And most of the research up to that time, understandably, had focused on marriages that failed. And so my colleagues and I, study, we started it together. John Gottman is a famous marital researcher, and Laura Carstensen, who's a renowned gerontologist, a social gerontologist. We thought it might be useful not to study the people who failed, but the people who were doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an unusual approach at the time. So we found these 156 couples who had made it through the difficult early stages of marriage where most of the divorces occur. And we decided to, you know, we invited ourselves, with their permission, into their lives for the next quarter of a century to sort of see what they did and understand something about marriages that were mostly going to stay together.
What I love about this is that you did study these people for years and years and years.
Yeah, it's I sort of think of it as a cake that we put in the oven 25 years ago, and then all of us went on and did other things in our career, And I came back to it to see how it was cooking, and it turned out that over that period of time, it turned out to be a very interesting cake with lots of surprises, and so you know, that's one of these things we didn't know at the time whether we'd be able to finish it, and if we were, whether we would learn anything of significance. But I think it turned out quite interesting.
Mm. Well, you know what I say, there's nothing like a really good cake.
Yeah, I know. Nothing like home cooking.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned the early years. We've always heard like a seven-year thing, that if you can't make it 7 years. But I think I read somewhere in some of your research, is it 15 years? Once you make it past 15, you're flying pretty well?
Yeah, well, if you believe in the seven-year itch, and of course that dates you, but if you know what that it refers to, by 15 years, you've gone through two of those cycles. But I think marriage researchers now don't think that there's anything magical about 7 years, but rather that encapsulates the natural demographics of a couple's life. We know that the birth of the first child is the single most challenging event for couples in terms of staying together. This is, at least in our culture, this wonderful event that, some people think is the ultimate purpose of pair bonding, to bring a new life into the world, turns out to be a huge challenge for couples, and many of them are not very well prepared for it. The relationship changes quite dramatically. And there are other challenges like that. And I think around age seven, around 7 years into a marriage, when kids are heading off into school and whatnot, that's another very difficult period for couples to adjust to. And so I think what drives these critical periods are the natural events that occur in the life of a married couple. Now, when you go out 15 years or so, you're beyond a lot of this early stuff, and you're starting to get into the period where kids are sort of becoming their own people, and they're more interested in their peer groups than their parents. And for a lot of couples, it's a time to sort of rediscover the marriage and the relationship and mm-hmm. get back to doing some of the things that they put off. And there are other challenges ahead. When the kids leave home, that's a challenge. When couples, working spouses retire, that can be difficult. And then later in life, there are huge challenges with changes in health, and often one caregiver may become one spouse may become a caregiver for another. But none of them have the statistics that suggest they're as difficult as these early marriage events.
Mm-hmm.
If you make it for 15 years, you probably have a lot of experience dealing with trouble under your belt.
Right. In one of the articles about the research you were doing, it said that what couples had a better shot at to death do us part, they were good at working out their problems, and wives, not husbands, who were able to calm marital conflicts up the chances of a couple staying together. So the wives are most important here. How could they calm things better than husbands?
Yeah. Well, I think there are two pieces to that finding. The first is, if you think about, let's say I think of ourselves, we're sort of like photographers, and every 5 years we take a snapshot of these couples, and we take a snapshot of different parts of their life. And one of those snapshots is how they resolve conflict. Another one, which we haven't done as much with, is how they enjoy each other and the things that they like to do together, the pleasures of married life.
Mm-hmm.
But it really does seem that in terms of a marriage's ability to stay together for the long term, it's this dealing with conflict and disagreement that is the most diagnostic. So that was the first part. This continual finding that, every couple's going to have lots of challenges. Some couples are dealt really bad hands in life, some a little bit better, but no one is spared these moments where you fundamentally disagree and you just have to come to some solution. And there's the rub, in that process seems to be, is held the fate of the marriage. So that was the first, discovery. And a number of researchers who study marriages have ended up focusing on this ability to resolve conflict as really important. Now, it turns out that the other thing that was interesting, and this one took us 25 years to figure out, is that men and women at least in the marriages in these cohorts. So our middle-aged couples are the baby boomers, mm-hmm. and the older ones are sort of the children of the Great Depression. So it's a particular part of American history that we're studying. Hmm. In these couples, it is really important when you're dealing with conflict for couples to be able to have some skill in dealing with the wife's emotions. So wives have strong emotional reactions to these discussions, and it's important that the couple, both spouses, find ways where they can deal with these issues and help the wife find some way to cool down and calm down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the wife's responsibility. You know, I mean, both spouses share that. And one of the interesting things that we found is that when wives are quite concrete with their partners and they sort of say, well, this is what I need right now, and this is what I need from you, and this is the kind of thing that you can do that will sort of help me deal with this, that's a really good thing for the couple.
Let's take one phone call, and we'll welcome more. We're also in our winter membership pledge drive. I just need to say this because at 3 o'clock I won't be able to say it anymore because it'll be over by 6 o'clock, and so I want you to pledge if you would please during this hour. 888-202-2552. Daniel is calling in from Kenosha. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Good.
When I first heard the beginning of the program, I had to chime in right away. My wife and I have been married for 23 years, and we have two children, 17 and 15. And we waited 5 years to have children when we got married. I wanted to have kids right out of the gate. I was the youngest of eight.
Oh.
And she's the oldest of four, but I just wanted to have babies. And she had nothing to do with that. We just decided to get to know each other. She convinced me, because she's a convincer, that this was the thing to do.
Right.
We had so many ups and downs. You know, actually, before we had babies, there were no ups and downs. It was all just about us, and we did a lot of things together and traveled. But once we started having babies, and making decisions, and I ran my own business, so I raised my kids. They never saw daycare. I always felt that I was, Mr. Mom, and I could make certain decisions about the children, but, she's a strong-headed woman, and, I called in to basically say, the last 5 years of our lives, of our marriage, I've been traveling. I've been, away from the house. I go home every 4 or 5 weeks mm-hmm. for about a week. But that has helped our relationship so much, to be away and have more substantive conversations rather than the day-to-day mundane things that happen. You know, our kids are, she tells me all the time, I say, I miss being home. She goes, the kids don't even want to be around me, let alone, right. around you. So just do what you're doing, send the money home. And come home
send
when
the
you can.
Home.
And it's been a brilliant relationship for all of us.
That's great. And bring some cake while you're at it. There's something to be said for time apart from each other. I don't know what couples had to say about that, but I think there may be something to that, Professor Levinson.
Yeah, I think was it Daniel who just
yes, Daniel.
I think his story was a very telling one. It had that, even though they waited to have kids, and had sort of 5 years to prepare for it. Nothing prepares you. It radically changes your life.
Sure does.
And like you said, there are lots of ups and downs. And one of the findings that came in our work is, I think it was also illustrated by Daniel's comments, is that there's a kind of a we quality to his story, and that is, we waited. We mm-hmm. had kids, we had problems, we found our way through it. Now we have more time and we're spending it together.
Mm-hmm.
Just that sense of that you're in this together, and that also sense that you've been through these tough times and found your own way through it. This is a quality that we found is very common among our marriages, long-term marriages that have done very well. Now, it would trivialize it to say that you could just turn that around and say, use we a lot, and you'll have a happy life together. But it is, I think it's one of the things we really learn from this, and that is that mindset that you're in this together,
right,
and this sense of pride that you got through the tough time, mm-hmm, is a really good sign.
Mm. We'll take more phone calls for you in a moment. Our guest this hour is Professor Robert Levinson. He's a professor at UC Berkeley, works in the psychophysiology laboratory, and has done this really remarkable study. I think it's lasted so long. They have studied the same 156 middle-age and older couples over 25 years. So they're looking at baby boom generation, and they're looking at their parents' depression era and finding out what is it about those long-term relationships, what's kept those people together for such a long period of time, and how have they been able to work out the inevitable difficulties that happen during any marriage. Here's how you reach us, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley, who produces this program, is here in our studios, and I want to tell you that listeners provide the single largest piece of our budget. I also want to tell you this is the last hour that we will ask for your contribution. This pledge drive is over at 6 o'clock, and your gift is important. That's another thing I want to say. And to encourage your gift today and right now, your pledge of any amount will automatically enter you in a drawing for an iPad Air. It could be a wonderful day for you. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yes, and thanks to the 44 listeners heard from last hour and the 9 already coming in this
great
hour for the pledges that you've given. Our goal this hour, essentially, we need 37 more pledges this hour to help us meet our goal. Make a contribution now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And then the programs that you enjoy will be here every day on Wisconsin Public Radio, thanks to your support.
Think of all the great company you've had here, whether it's a 60-minute talk show on all these important, wonderful issues, a 3-minute news update, all of the topics. It's just incredible what's produced here day after day after day. And it's listeners like you who help pay for the quality programs that you hear every day. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And giving really couldn't be any easier. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay for it.
You can use a credit card if you'd like, make a one-time gift, or better yet, how about starting these automatic sustaining donations directly from your bank account? It's up to you. Just figure it out and then do it. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Basically, I just believe with public radio, it's almost a duty to become a member because the programming is why you listen. All you have to do is travel someplace that doesn't have public radio for a week or so and realize how much you miss it and you want to come back. I've been known to turn it on my computer when we're traveling and there's not a decent public radio station anywhere near us. I just really enjoy it. I enjoy the programming. I learn things. That makes a big difference to me. And I get a little bit of everything. One of the nicest things about WPR is that it is statewide. We try to hit a different state park every week during the spring and summer. And so we're traveling around the state. It's just wonderful to be able to continue listening pretty much wherever we go in the state. That's something that is very rare. That has been just sort of icing for us, is to know that we can continue listening wherever we go in Wisconsin. I'm Michelle from Madison, Wisconsin. I hope you'll join me in being a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Everybody's talking about cake. I said, I want a piece of cake. And KP said he would make some. It's okay, but we should get some cake tomorrow, right? Just sounds good. KP Whaley is joining me in our studios, and we are asking for your support of WPR during this winter membership drive. Maybe your gift is $10, $20 a month. whatever it is, thank you very much. But do it now. It's the last day of our pledge drive, and here's how you do it. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, and everyone who does pledge today will be entered into that drawing for an iPad Air, and you could be the lucky winner when you make your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You don't have to pledge to participate. Send a postcard, name, address, email, and telephone number to WPR iPad Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard or making a pledge right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we're pretty sure that the programs you hear on WPR make a difference in your life. Otherwise, you wouldn't have us tuned in.
Right.
So you're listening right now, and it's a good bet that you listen every day. During this winter membership drive, we're asking you to put your money where your values are.
Your gift of whatever amount you choose, $5 a month, makes a difference. It's because we rely on listener support for the single largest piece of our budget. Make the difference right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Join your friends. Join your neighbors, all who believe in WPR and believe in supporting it. It takes the support of everyone who listens to make this radio station as good as it can be.
And when you make your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll actually be doing your part to make sure that the news and information that you get every day is here every day.
The pledges are coming in. We're looking still for 30 more pledges in the next 30 minutes. So it's the last day of our winter drive. We want you to give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is the last day, and don't worry about waiting to the last minute. We have all done exactly the same thing. As an added bonus for your pledge of any amount today, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Don't forget that drawing for an iPad Air. And sustainers, we have you automatically entered.
And you can also show off your WPR pride with our new WPR logo T-shirt.
KP likes these. He's a fan.
There's not another one out there. This is a brand new logo. So you haven't got this T-shirt yet. And it's yours for just a pledge of $120. That's only $10 a month as a sustainer. And at WPR.org, you can make that happen. 888-202-2552.
And your pledge is very important. Adrian and Sarah from Cable. I love Cable, Wisconsin. There are some absolutely beautiful little spots in Cable. I need to go back. I haven't been there for a couple of years. At any rate, they say, we have been regular listeners to WPR for many years, and it makes us feel like part of a statewide community. Indeed, it does. It connects us from our home in the North Woods to the rest of Wisconsin.
And Anne, also in New Berlin, says that she loves the Kathleen Dunn Show, as I'm sure that many of you do. And she listens every day to lots of the WPR programs. And she says it's great company. You know, and it is true. We have the radio on all day long, and it's company in the house. And she says that she pays for a newspaper monthly. Why not pay for the radio, too, on a monthly basis? She says that we're so much more worth it, and she wishes she could give more. I'm sure we all do.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Ann and Adrian and Sarah. And thank you, KP. Again, the number for you to pledge. Last day, last hour for this show, less than an hour now, 888-202-2552. We're talking what makes for a long and happy marriage this hour of the program. And lo and behold, KP found a guest who's actually studied that for a long time now. Professor Robert Levinson is our guest. He's at UC Berkeley and as a researcher studied the same 156 middle-aged and older couples over 25 years. And we're welcoming phone calls for him, 800-486-8655 is our on-air number. And let's go to Doug in Jefferson. Hi, Doug. Thanks for waiting.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't know exactly how this fits in totally with your study, but I was married twice. The first time I got married when I was 20, lasted a little over a year. My ex-wife decided she didn't want to be a wife and a mother anymore and moved out. And I started taking care of my eight-month-old daughter by myself.
Hmm.
I did that for about 3 years, and I was delivering pizza. I was laid off, delivering pizza in the evening, and happened to deliver a pizza to an apartment that there's a couple of girls living there. One of them happened to be someone I recognized that I went to grade school with.
Oh.
And we couldn't stand each other in grade school. But obviously things change when you get older. And she invited my daughter and I over for dinner. And we started dating, and about a year later, we were married.
Hmm.
And we were married for 34 years. She passed away about 3.5 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And thank you. But some of the things that really worked out for us was, one, we never argued about money. You know, and there were times we were really dirt poor. But we never argued. There was none of this, well, if you had a better job or, you know, you were this or you were that. We didn't argue about money. In fact, we really, you know, didn't argue at all. I mean, we argued, and obviously, I think every couple does that. We had our differences and difference of opinions and things, and we only probably had two really big arguments, if you want to call it that. The other thing we had for ground rules, and we talked about this before we got married, was neither my wife or I ever said a derogatory word to each other or, you know, some of the really bad name-calling and screaming and things. We did not argue like that when we did have arguments.
Hmm.
We made sure to tell each other that we loved each other. Like before I would go to work in the morning, I worked as an electronics test technician, worked with high voltage. I did not want to leave on a bad note, you know, at least, you know, because I never knew, you know, I could have got zapped or any number of things.
Right.
So we would always tell each other that we loved each other before we left. And I might say to my wife, I really love you. And she'd say, I really love you, too. I still think you're a jerk. But, you know.
That sounds like something I would say.
You know, when I got back home. But we just didn't want to leave on a bad note.
Oh, I really am so glad you called, Doug. What a lovely call. Professor Levinson.
Yeah. It's a really great story. And,
yes.
With a lot of wisdom in it. And,
right.
And, you know, one of the ironies about, this is not our research, is that you'd think that second marriages would, in general, be more successful than first marriages. You know, you learn from experience. But the data don't support that. So this is a nice story because when he married again, he married well, and they spent decades together. But not everybody is as fortunate. I think it also underscores the fact that there is no simple cookie-cutter recipe, one-size-fits-all, that's going to work for every couple. His story was filled again with this sense of, we did this, we learned this, we always said we loved each other, we didn't argue about money. There's that real sense of partnership that, you know, that developed, and I think they found a way to that. It might be a little different than the way that someone else might do it.
Right.
Another theme that was in, you know, his comments, which I think was very common in our study, is this sense of respect, you know, that you really value who the person is as a person,
mm-hmm.
even though they're quite different than you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there was one other thing in what he said that reminded me a lot of our couples, and that is sometimes the things that are kind of irritating quirks at the beginning of a relationship, they become these really lovable, kind of endearing qualities as couples really commit to each other and start to spend long, you know, decades with each other. And, you know, and he had that kind of a story, you know, like, well, you know, we really love each other, even though, you know, I can be difficult. And,
right.
And that's a very common theme in our couples. They're very successful over the long haul. So, you know, it's a great story, and you'd like to think that everyone would have that kind of a relationship in their life that would last for 30 years and
right.
would give you so much pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call, Doug. It was really nice to hear from you. And what is the ultimate joy in being with the same person for a long period of time? Those you interviewed who were of the Depression era, who maybe had been married for a long, long time, what did they say, the best that they said about marriage?
Yeah, well, I think there is something powerful in the human psyche about shared history.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think
uh-huh.
it's one of these things that really is intrinsically pleasurable to us. You know, it's in lots of forms. you know, for example, going to the same movie or, you know, going to Woodstock or, you know, remembering, you know, the inauguration of, you know, of a particular president or, you know, the horrible winter that we survived in the Midwest and, you know, in 80 whatever. And these are things that, you know, we take pleasure in having shared. Well, a long-term marriage is full of those events and also a sense of overcoming and working through the difficult times. So that there is something about that. It is irreplaceable. You cannot, you know, in a new relationship, it doesn't come with it. I sometimes think, we don't have any data to support this, but like in Doug's story, running across somebody who you knew in elementary school, you know, it one of the things that you have, you start with a little foundation of that shared history.
Yes.
So you hear those kinds of stories, and I don't think there's a lot of good science about it, but there's something about that that just really we resonate to as humans.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a bank account. You're making deposits every day into this vault of shared history. And that is a really important part of the lives of couples that spend decades together.
Yeah, oh, I like that answer. How true. Vivian in Green Bay, hi.
Two marriage stories and some lessons learned. First marriage, 16 years, children after 10, and definitely a very stressful point after that. And my children were 2 and 5 when I divorced their father. I remarried 3 years later. My son, then close to a preteen, asked me the question of, if I wanted to be married, why didn't I stay married to his dad? Mm-hmm. And those are hard to answer. But I came up with an answer that I thought was realistic and the truth. And I said, when your dad and I had problems, we attacked each other. When Ken and I have problems, we attack the problem.
And
that's it.
That's good advice. Professor Levinson.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you should write a book about that, because that's one of the things that I think marital therapists, and I'm just a scientist, you know, I study things and try to understand them, but I have a chance in my work to work with a lot of very skilled marital therapists, and a lot of them sort of take that approach that, you know, couples need to, if couples are going to be successful in dealing with problems, they need to take a step back, and I think the caller was right on point. Not just attack each other, but to see that this is something that they're both dealing with together. Attack the problem, not each other. Because what you said. So, you know, I think some of the most effective ways of fixing broken marriages is helping couples get that perspective. Now the thing is, a scientist, and, you know, I don't know if the caller is still on, but I'd be very interested in the game.
Are you there, Vivian?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So, Vivian, why is it, you know, that some couples can do what you did in your second marriage and sort of see the problem as the enemy, but other couples, they just can't get beyond blaming each other. And there's no way, I mean, everybody who's ever been married or been in an intimate relationship knows that those arguments where you try to prove who's right or wrong, they never end well.
I know. Yeah. That's right. And they go on and on and on because you keep thinking about how you're right.
Right. And so I don't know what it is that some couples be able to do that. You know,
I
but
think
that's a
some
great
of it
thing.
Does go back to upbringing and childhood. And whether you're part of a team even as a child, are you part of the team that makes that family run? Or are you part of the problem? And some parents will see it that way. And my parents divorced, oh, my gosh, I was an infant, a seventh of 8 children, and my father left for California with his recent love.
Mm.
But my mother never blamed him. She just flat out said, he's your father, you will respect him. And when we grew up, we drew our own conclusions.
Mm.
But we were never part of her problem.
Mm-hmm.
We were always part of her life. She could have said, you know, there was too many children, your father couldn't handle it. But she never did that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the upbringing that two people bring into a marriage, their sense of value, their sense of problem solving and resourcefulness, if they don't have some of that going into it, I don't know that they have the skills to attack problems and not each other.
Yeah. It's an important story. She sounds like you'd have to be an incredibly generous woman to not have all kinds of anger at somebody who left you with eight kids. Thank you, Vivian, for your call. We'll take a few more. We'll have time for a couple more phone calls as we continue. We're talking about marriage this hour of the program with Robert Levinson. He's a professor at UC Berkeley, and he has done this 25-year study of 156 middle-aged and older couples who have, you know, not had perfectly happy, but the ups and downs relationship, but they have stayed together and will until death do us part. Why have they been able to do that, and what advice can they give us? We'll take more phone calls in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley, and today is the final day of our winter membership drive. We're just on the air with you 15 more minutes to ask for your support of this program. And your support, as you know, makes high-quality, commercial-free programs on WPR possible. When you pledge today, remember you'll be in a drawing for an iPad Air, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're still looking for about 22 more pledges in the next 15 minutes. So thank you if you've already given. And if you haven't, now is the time to go to your phone. Help us stay on track by making your contribution now at 888-202-2552.
We bring you 2 great hours of radio from 1 until 3, Monday through Thursday. Books, history, politics, social issues, education, poetry. We're here for you with very important topics and fun topics as well.
And we can't really do it without you. So listeners' contributions make up more than 40% of our budget, and that's
a
lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's why we're asking for your gift right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You may be looking for the best way to fit it into your budget. Becoming a sustainer may be the answer. You decide on this monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or credit card, and you set it up to be ongoing.
Become a sustainer. It is a powerful way to donate because it provides reliable funding for WPR. And for you, it's really the most convenient and affordable way for you to give. You just choose a monthly amount. Say it's $10 a month or $20 a month, and then become a sustainer right now at WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
If you're thinking that your tax dollars, federal and state, already support WPR, you're right, they do, and we thank you for that.
But contributions, as we've been saying, from individual listeners really make the quality and the variety of programming here possible. Listener support is actually the single biggest piece of our budget pie. You make the difference, and because WPR matters to you, making a personal contribution will help pay for the radio programs that you listen to. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR.org, 888-202-2552. 19 pledges to go this hour. Your gift of $10 or $15 a month is the right amount, whatever you choose. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
It's coming right down to the wire.
Right.
Our winter membership drive ends at 6 o'clock tonight. That leaves you time to cast your vote in favor of Wisconsin Public Radio. Just take a few minutes right now to make your pledge of support.
And you'll be married happily ever after.
Right.
After
make a pledge for your marriage.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, no doubt about that. You decide the amount to pledge. Go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Your gift supports the programs you hear every day on WPR.
And again, as an added benefit, pledge any amount today will be entered into a drawing for an iPad Air. Sustainers are already covered in that. Just go to the pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much. Thanks for your pledges. Thanks, KP. We're going to take a couple more phone calls on what makes for a long and happy marriage. And let's go to Karen in Rolling Stone next. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Hi.
I have to say, you stole my thunder because I was going to say one of the things you should do is listen to public radio together.
That's the answer,
huh? I've been married for 47 years, and we have been listening to public radio, gosh, since the early 70s. So it's a good bonding thing.
I'll bet it is.
I think, first of all, it's good to have balance in your marriage. You know the saying, opposites attract? I think opposites in temperament often attract, but not opposites in values,
mm-hmm.
and not opposites in all the things you like to do. And that's us. And so that's been very, very helpful. But I think one, well, and then I married a middle child, and who doesn't love a middle child? And but otherwise, I think a very, very good thing for us has been we have faced just about everything in our lives with a sense of humor. About 2 months before we were married, we had come home from teaching overseas, so we planned our wedding in just a few months. And I said to my, we had chosen a date in August, August 13th, and I said to my husband, who was then my fiancé, oh, gosh, August 13th, you know, we're going to have some wedding anniversaries on Friday the 13th. We get married on the 13th. Do you think that's going to be unlucky? And he said, no. And anyway, if it doesn't work out, we have something to blame it on. So it has worked out, and we haven't had to blame it on anything. It's wonderful to be able to share things with someone who will often have a light touch.
Mm-hmm.
And I
yes.
think that has meant difficult times were easier.
Yes.
We were married for 5 years before we had any children because of the Vietnam War. 3 months after we were married, my husband was drafted.
Oh, my.
And he enlisted in the Air Force. He was an officer in the Air Force for 4 years, and we just decided we're going to wait until this is finished. And then his last tour was in Korea, and I was able to go along, and I worked as a volunteer at a TB hospital for children, and that's where we met our son. He was an orphan, and
Karen.
My husband had come up to help on the weekend, so that was an adventure, you know, a five-year-old who was sick. And,
yeah.
and but I'll tell you, when you are lucky, part of it's luck, when you are lucky and when you keep a sense of humor and when you balance each other out and you have the same values, life is so wonderful.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like yours has been a wonderful life. Karen, thank you for the call. Values, she's right about that, and humor. I mean, you can't underestimate humor, but values, you got to have the same kinds of values, don't you think, Professor?
Yeah. You know, there were three things in Karen's call I thought were really – basically, people just need to move to Wisconsin to have better marriages, I think.
I love that comment. That's great.
The first thing is the shared values, and there was a lot of research on that early in marriage research. The second thing is this really interesting thing about personality and similarity. And one of the first studies we did with this 25-year sample is we looked at this question. It was a study that one of my postdocs, Lonnie Sciotta, took the lead on, and we asked whether birds of a feather do better over time or not.
Uh-huh.
And we found something very much like what Karen said, that it's really this complementary, having this diversity of personality between spouses that may not be ideal in the short run, you know, because that's a different question, like who are you attracted to and, you know, and who do you feel the sparks with and But the long-run question, who can you forge a life together and mm-hmm. get through all of life's difficulties together? There, it seems like to be a little different is really a much better alchemy for a relationship. And couples where one person is outgoing and one person is more reflective and whatnot, they seem to have the skill set between them to deal with a lot more of life's problems.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another thing that this research really suggested. And lastly, I just want to say something about humor. You know, we found that the ability to cool down after conflict was really critical, and especially critical for wives. And the two ways that we find that couples do that is that they use affection, which is very, very safe, and humor. And humor is wonderful if you use it well, but it also has this, it can be used poorly in a way that's hurtful.
Caustic,
and
right.
cutting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it's a good strategy if you're good at it. But, you know, if you have to make your choice, probably be safer just to find
something about the other person that you feel good about, something endearing, and to comment on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Professor Levinson, we have to pledge here. We don't have to. We want to. But I hope you have a book or something coming out from all of this. It would be just a terrific book.
Yeah, I know. I'm such a slacker. I don't have anything to sell. You know, it's just a scientist working quietly in my laboratory.
I know, but who's done these kinds of studies? Nobody. So
yeah,
you have an obligation, sir.
All right. Well, maybe you'll give it away on your next pledge break.
Thank you. We'll hold you to that. We'll remember what you just said. Thank you. Professor Robert Levinson, and he's a professor at UC Berkeley. He's done a remarkable study. I mean, 25 years they've been looking at the same 156 middle-aged and older couples. I think there's a book in that. People have written books on much more restricted kinds of topics and less important topics, don't you think? Well, at any rate, that was fun and important, I think. And thanks for all of your marvelous phone calls. You really are an extraordinary audience. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley, and listeners provide the single largest piece of our budget. We're just in the last 5 minutes here of asking for your support for this show during our winter membership drive. And we encourage you because you get great conversations and we're, you know, an iPad air that you might win wouldn't hurt either. So make your gift now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're still looking for another 11 pledges in the next few minutes here. So pledge now and help pay for the programs that you count on all year long. Thank you if you've already given, and if you haven't, now's the time. This is
yes,
it.
Yes, it is. This is it.
Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you're interested in playing a larger role in supporting WPR. The 9XM Leadership Circle is a group of listeners, all fine folks, who contribute $1,200 or more a year to support WPR programs.
Leadership Circle members value the compelling public radio programming so that many people in our community rely on it. And they want to make sure it is here today as much as you do. So if you'd like to increase your support, join the 9XM Leadership at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have about 6 minutes left and 10 more pledges. So now is the time to make your donation in support of this program, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. It might be $5 a month. You give us $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
And listeners make the work we do here at Wisconsin Public Radio worthwhile, but members make our work very possible.
And you get all these great programs because members kick in a large portion of our budget, the largest single part. So become a member now. Help make WPR possible with your gift of $5 a month or any amount you choose. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Nine calls left.
Nine callers is all we need. You know, I love working here on the show and especially on Kathleen's show. You're probably one of the most dedicated hosts I've had the privilege to work with. And you'd pour yourself into topics. You listeners know that whether the important topic is political or historical figure, Kathleen has done her research, and that's why I appreciate working with her. And you don't get shows like this anywhere else. This show is possible because of pledges, by listener, and only on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. So show your support now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I think that our marriage guest kept using the phrase, we are in this together, we are in this. Mm. And it's really true of radio, too, and it's true of the producer-host relationship that we're in this together.
Absolutely.
And it's just, I spend as much time with you as I do with my family, for heaven's sake, you know? So it's got to be a good relationship. And thank you for all of the work you do. It cannot be. We don't want to let these people be underappreciated who produce shows because KP works like a dog and he's good. So for all of that happens here, please call with your support. It's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Eight calls to
go. More calls to go. And it's, again, our last day of the winter membership drive. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount today, you'll be entered into a drawing for an iPad Air. Sustainers, don't worry. We've got you covered there. You're automatically entered.
Or you can also do this. We want to talk about this a little bit. It's this WPR logo t-shirt, which is pretty cool. It's a nice logo, and it's a nice-looking t-shirt.
It's a brand-new logo. You don't, have this T-shirt yet.
No, you expose me. You're right, I don't.
Nobody has the T-shirt yet. That's the best part is you call now. 888.
Oh, nobody
has it. Yep, 202-2552. You can't have this T-shirt unless you pledge now. So.
Right. Got it. Thank you. Thank you. It's 888-202-2552. We need seven more calls. 7 minutes to go. I think it's time, somebody said. I think it's time.
Seven minutes to go. Sam and Deborah, I'm from Verona. Thank you for your pledges. Pledge now is very important. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thanks so much, KP Whaley, producer of the show. Thanks to Lisa Nalbandian for her help today as well.